Okay, good morning, and thank you all very, very much for coming. Today's daf is Daf Ches, here in Masechet Yoma. And the beginning of the daf continues the discussion about the tzitz. The tzitz was the special gold plate that was on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. And this gold plate, this headband, had written on it the words Kodesh LaHashem, and it could, it had a special role. If a karban was offered by mistake, and they realized the Kohen was Tameh, or the animal became Tameh, the tzitz makes the Tumah accepted. Even though normally you're not allowed to offer a karban b'tumah, the tzitz makes it accepted. It makes it, you know, the pasuk said, "Va'yam al mitzach Aaron." It'll be on the forehead of Aaron. The nasa Aaron es avona kadashim, and Aaron will bear the sin of the holy sacrifices. Asher yakdishu bnei Yisrael l'chol matnos kadshehem, that the Jews will make holy for all the gifts of their holy things. Va'yam mitzchot tamid, and it'll be on his forehead constantly. The Ratzon Lahem Lifnei Hashem, as a source of favor before Hashem. So the tzitz has the ability to make the karban accepted. And we had an argument whether that's only when the tzitz is actually on the Kohen Gadol, or even when it's off of him and on a peg or on a shelf. If we look back to Zayin Amid Beis, the second, third line, the Tanu Linton of Braisa Tzitz Bein Shieshna al Mitzcho Bein Shieshna al Mitzcho Meratza Divir Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the headband, whether it's on his forehead or not, creates the acceptability. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer al Mitzcho Meratza, if it's on his forehead, it creates the acceptability. Eino Deo al Mitzcho Eino Meratza. If it's not still on his forehead, it doesn't create the acceptability. So let's start here. Fourth line on Chesamad Aleph. Ulu Rabbi Shimon Domer Tabin Meratza. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that the tzitz always creates acceptability of the disqualified, impure sacrifices. Vaksiv, but the pasuk says, Vahaya al. So the Bach changes the girsa. Vahaya al metzach Aaron v'nasa. Again, let me read the pasuk. Vahaya al metzach Aaron v'nasa Aaron. So the pasuk says the word metzach twice. It starts with v'haya al metzach Aaron v'nasa Aaron esavona kadoshim asher yaktishu bnei Yisrael l'chol matnos kadoshim. Then it says again v'haya al mitzcho tamid l'ratzon lehem lifnei Hashem. So the beginning of the pasuk, which said v'haya al metzach Aaron, doesn't it say it'll be on the forehead of Aaron and then v'nasa, then we'll carry the sin? If it's on the forehead, it'll carry the sin. Doesn't that imply that if it's not on the forehead, it doesn't carry the sin? So he'll have to tell you, Reb Shimon, who holds that the tzitz always creates the atonement, always makes it acceptable, even when it's not on the forehead. Either verse says it'll be on the forehead and carry the sin. So the fact that it says it'll be on the forehead, that's just to establish where the tzitz is placed. It's placed on the forehead. That's what the beginning of the pasuk is teaching you. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda, how does he know where to establish the spot? How does he know where to establish the location of the tzitz? And so the Gemara Nafkalei me'al mitzcho. He learns it from the words al mitzcho on his forehead, which is at the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk was v'hay al mitzcho tamid. So the end is to say it'll be on the forehead, on that spot. Rabbi Shimon, not me, Rabbi Shimon also, tepuk lei me al mitzcho. Why doesn't he learn from the end of the pasuk, the words al mitzcho, on his forehead, that it has to be on the forehead? In a chanan. All right, Rabbi Shimon really learns that too. So the location of the tzitz being on the forehead is not learned from the beginning of the pasuk, it's learned from the end of the pasuk, which says v'hay al mitzcho, it'll be on his forehead. So, therefore, what's the beginning of the pasuk for? Elas, if so, al metzach v'nasa, my avid lay. The verse that says, on the forehead, and he will carry the sin. What's that for? Amlechua, he'll tell you like this. Roy lemetzach meratzeh. According to Rabbi Shimon, even though it doesn't actually have to be on the forehead to carry the sin, it has to be something which could be on the forehead. Shein roy lemetzach, but if the tzitz has gotten to such a place where it's not worthy, it's not able to be put on the forehead anymore, ein meratzeh, then it will not make the disqualified, the impure sacrifices accepted. And that's to say that if the tzitz broke, if it broke, you can't put it on the forehead, and then it will not create atonement. Says the Gemara, according to Yehuda, nishbara tzitz minali. How does he know that if the tzitz breaks, that it no longer creates acceptability to the sacrifices that are impure? Nafkalei, he learns it again from the end of the pasuk. The pasuk said at the end, v'hayal mitzcho tamid. It could have just said netzach. Why did it say mitzcho? That's to say it has to be something which could fit on his neck, could fit on his forehead, namely not something which is broken. And Rabbi Shimon, that it should have said metzach. Why did it say mitzcho? He doesn't learn that. He doesn't think that's a question even. It said mitzcho. Should have said metzach. Why did it say mitzcho? Feels that that's not something to ask. Okay, says the Gemara now. We got into this whole discussion because we're trying to figure out whether Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur or Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. We know that if an individual is Tameh, he can't bring his Karban Pesach. But if the whole nation is Tameh, so now when it's communal, in the face of communal mitzvah, the law of Tumah is suspended. You bring the Karban Pesach on time. You don't go to Pesach Sheni if the whole community is Tameh. If an individual is Tameh, you go to Pesach Sheni. But if the whole community is Tameh, we don't go to Pesach Sheni. So there is a Pasuk here basically saying if the whole community is Tameh, we don't go to Pesach Sheni, we just offer the Tumah. So how do we understand that law? Is it that the community... there is a problem of Tumah when the whole community is Tameh, or the majority of the community is Tameh, but we overrule it, we push it down. But it's there, it's a problem. Or do we say there's no problem of Tumah at all if everybody is Tameh? If the majority are Tameh, then the law of Tumah is just entirely suspended. So Mara says... maybe these Tanaim are like the following Tanaim also. In other words, maybe these coming Tanaim that we're going to talk about also are arguing about this question, whether Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur or Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibur. When you have a community, do we say that the Tumah is totally permitted, or do we say it is only Dechuya? The Tanaim in a Braisa, we saw this Braisa earlier, Echadzeh, both the... Kohen Gadol, who's in the room for a week before Yom Kippur, and the Kohen who's in the room for the week to prepare to do the Parah Aduma. Braisa said, Mazen Olav, Kol Shiva, Mikol Chato Shoyusham, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, for that week, each day of that week, they would sprinkle on him from the ashes of Parah Aduma. Now we know that if somebody becomes Tameh Meis, to become Tahor, the Torah tells us in Parshas Chukas, a Parah Aduma has to be procured. It is then slaughtered outside of the temple, and it is burned on the Mount of Olives together with a cedar and a hyssop. And then the ashes go travel around the land of Israel. They get mixed with spring water, and the spring water and the ashes are sprinkled on the person who's Tameh Meis on day 3 after he became Tameh Meis, and then again on day 7 after he became Tameh Meis, and he goes to the mikvah and he becomes Tahor. So when we put the Kohen away from his family, as we've seen earlier, it's because we don't want him to have Tumas Nid on him, so we don't want him to do with his wife. But also, there's a new idea here, that we're also worried that maybe he became Tameh Meis and he didn't know about it. There is Tumas HaTahom. There are sometimes dead bodies buried without their graves being marked. and people are walking on top of dead bodies, and the tumah rises. There was no ohel, there was no tent to stop the tumah from rising. So we're worried, maybe he had become tameh. So we wanted to be totally pure. So we sprinkle on him ashes of parah adumah. So point to Rabbi Meir, each of these 7 days we sprinkle on him ashes of parah adumah, because maybe each of these days is a day three or a day seven from when he became tameh. He didn't know he became tameh. But maybe he became tameh the day before he walked in. Maybe he became tameh the day that he walked in to this chamber. Maybe he became tameh 2 days before he walked into the chamber. Anyway, maybe these are days that are really day three of his tumah, day seven of his tumah. Therefore, we sprinkle ashes on him on each of these days. And we don't just take ashes of one par aduma. There were eight paros adumos that were procured and prepared and set up during the time of Bayis Sheni, during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. So we burn the paros adumos, and we take ashes from each of those paros adumos, and we sprinkle it on him. So he gets sprinkled with all of the different paros adumos, and he gets sprinkled on each and every day of these 7 days. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, in mazan olav el shlishi shvi'i bilvad. Only sprinkle on him on day three and on day seven. What's that?
By doing it shlishi shvi'i, he's never going to miss. He may be going to be a day late.
Right. That's right. Exactly. As Izzy points out. So on the third day and on the seventh day of his time in the Lishkas Parhedrin for Yom Kippur, and in his time in Lishkas Beis HaEven for Parah Adumah, on day three and on day seven, Rabbi Yossi says, we sprinkle on him ashes of Parah Adumah and water, because as Izzy points out, even if he had become Tameh, let's say, 2 days before he went into the chamber. So if you sprinkle on him on day three, it's really day five from when he became Tameh. Okay, so it's late. It's late, but you got it. And then 4 days after that, day seven of when he's in the chamber, you sprinkle on him a second time. And the third opinion is, Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer, Rabbi Hanina, who was the assistant to the Kohanim, I've mentioned before the idea of Rabbi Meir Shapiro, who was the founder of the Daf Hayomi initiative. Rabbi Meir Shapiro points out that in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim is the one who says, Evei mispalel l'shlomo shel malchus, pray for the welfare of government, she'il malei mora'af, not for the fear of law, ishes re'eu chayim bala'u, people would swallow each other, people would just steal, it would be a total anarchy. So he said, why was it Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim who taught us this lesson? So he said, it's a strange thing, Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim, it should be Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohen. Right, the Kohen Gadol had a Sagan, he had one assistant. And normally when he would die, then the assistant would take over. So how could you be Sagan, the assistant to many Kohanim? You're assistant to one Kohen. So he said, the answer is based on the Gemara that we have here. The Gemara says that in Bayis Sheni, the Kohuna Gadola became something that the government would sell. And that corrupt Kohanim would give money to the Roman governor, the Roman proconsul. And the governor would then say, okay, so you're the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Hanina's Gan HaKohanim, he was the assistant. Now, by what's right, the assistant should take over when the former leader dies or can't be Kohen Gadol anymore. So he should have been the one to take over. Rabbi Hanina's Gan HaKohanim should have been the one to take over. But they would never let him take over as Kohen Gadol because he kept selling it to another person. He wasn't going to pay for it. It's not right to pay for it. So he kept being the assistant to the Kohanim Gedolim. So they stulted his life. They ruined his life dream. His life dream is to become Kohen Gadol. And he's the one who's most worthy. But he's, again, assistant. And the next time he's assistant, the next time he's assistant, he stays as the assistant to many, many Kohanim Gedolim. So the person who the government messed up his life with their corruption, he's the one who says, even so, pray for the welfare of government. Because if you're not going to have any government at all, ishes re'eu chayim below. You're going to have total anarchy. He's the one who appreciates that. He's saying, I know for me they were terrible. But that's okay, they were terrible for me. That's my own losses. But I know that the alternative to not have any government at all, to have anarchy, is even worse. So that I say, everybody should pray for the government, that we should have, you know, the riots and the, you know, pogroms in the streets. Yeah, what's the question?
Do you
Oh, no, I was going to say that also, I don't know if it's the same thing, but in the Mishnah, where it says that it's also, it was a time where it was an anti-Semitic government altogether. So,
right? And even for them, exactly, even for them, you should pray. Where they fill her on the roof, keep the czar far away from me. Right? So you pray. Sometimes you pray that they should stay away from us, but you're praying for them too. Okay, so again, Rebbe Chanina's Ganakonim, Rebbe Chanina's Ganakonim says there's a difference between the two weeks. Kohen Asarei Fesapara, the Kohen who's gonna do the Paraduma, and he's spending the week in the Lishkas Beis Ha'Even. Mazen Olav Kol Shiva. They sprinkle on him each day of the 7 days. Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol who's preparing for Yom Kippur, in Mazen Olav El Shlishi Ishvi, they only sprinkle on him, and on day 3, and on day 7. Says the Gemara, Ma'alav B'Hakam Hifilki. Presumably, this is the argument, right? Three opinions here. Kohen Rabbi Meir, both the Kohen for Yom Kippur and the Kohen for Parah Adumah gets purified with all the different ashes on each of the 7 days. Kohen Rabbi Yossi, both get purified on day 3 and on day 7 of that week. And Rebbe Chanina's Gan HaKohen, so there's a difference. The Kohen preparing the Parah Adumah gets purified each day, and the Kohen of Yom Kippur gets purified on day 3 and on day 7. So my lad, presumably, this is the argument. Whether Tuma Hucha B'Tzibur or Tuma Duchuya B'Tzibur. Rebbe Meir, Sav Rebbe Meir holds Tuma Duchuya B'Tzibur. When you have a communal need, Kohen Gadol doing the service of Yom Kippur, the Kohen doing the Parah Adumah, it's a communal need. So really, we would ignore Tuma. Tuma's Meis would be ignored. But it's not ignored fully. It's just that it's pushed aside. It's pushed aside. If you can create Tahara, you would. If you had in your base Av of the day, some Kohanim or Tame, some Kohanim or Tzar, you'll choose the ones who are Tzar to do the service of the Tamid. You push it aside, but it's still an issue. It's still a concern. So if it's still a concern, so you want to purify to make sure that he's not going to be Tamei Meis. So you sprinkle on him the ashes, and you sprinkle on it every day. Because this opinion holds that when it comes to going to the mikvah, let's say someone's a keri, he had a discharge of semen, he can go to the mikvah that day, a woman is a nida, she can go to the mikvah after 7 days. When it comes to going to the mikvah, you have to do it right away, you have to do it at its time. Tefillah bizmana mitzvah. So then hazah bizmana, the sprinkling at its time, maybe is also a mitzvah. You don't know when he became Tamei. You don't even know if he did become Tamei. So therefore, every single day to fulfill the Hazab is Mana Mitzvah. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Yossi Sava, Rabbi Yossi held, when you're dealing with communal needs like Yom Kippur and Parah Adumah, we're talking about something which is entirely permitted. The Tumah is entirely permitted. In the face of the community, Tumah is totally suspended. So if Tumah is entirely permitted, if Tuma Huchi Bitzibur, if Tuma is completely permitted, then if Tuma is Huchi Bitzibur, if Tuma is entirely permitted, so Rabbi Yossi holds the Tuma is Huchi Bitzibur, it's entirely permitted. And since Tuma is entirely permitted, therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Tuma is Huchi Bitzibur, you have to make sure that every single day you have ashes on day 3 and on day 7. So Gemara says, 1 second, that doesn't make sense. The Tizbur, if you hold, you sever Rabbi Yossi, Yatir B'tzibur, the Tumah is entirely permitted in a communal need. Hazah Klalamali, why would you even sprinkle on day 3 and on day 7? There's no need to sprinkle at all. All right, Allah, so you have to say like this, Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Tum Kamen Tanoi, all these Tanoim agree, Tumah Duchuyi B'tzibur, when you have the issues of Tumah and a communal offering, the communal offering pushes aside the Tumah. Doesn't mean that there is no law of Tumah at all. Just pushes it aside. It overrules it. Okay, so now, what's the argument? Whether it's three every day ashes, only on day 3 and day 7 ashes. V'achan over here, v'achan if you this is the argument. Reb Meir, Sever Meir holds, Amrinan, we say, Tefillah bizmana mitzvah, that when you have a concern of going to the mikvah, let's say keri or nida, first chance you have to go to the mikveh, you have to go. It's a mitzvah to be tovel at its right time. So this is a big topic we had in Masech the Nida also. Tevilah bizmana mitzvah. A mitzvah to be tovel at its right time. So if there's a mitzvah of tevilah on time, so then you can say that the same way there's a mitzvah of tevilah on time, there's a mitzvah of hazah on time. There's a mitzvah that you purify as soon as you can. So we don't know. Maybe the Kohen Gadol became Tameh 2 days before he entered into this chamber, Lishkas Parhedrin. So the first day that he's in Lishkas Parhedrin, we sprinkle on him the ashes. As if he became Tameh 2 days before, this is now day three. If this is day three, this is the time for the ashes. Next day also, maybe he became Tameh only a day before. So maybe, this is the day three. The next day, maybe he became Tameh the day he went into the chamber. Before he went into the chamber, maybe he walked over some grave and he became Tameh. So that's day three. So we keep sprinkling on him the ashes because we have to do it on time. So each day ends up with an ashes sprinkling. However, Rabbi Yossi holds, well, I mean, Tilu Bizman HaMitzvah, as he pointed out. Rabbi Yossi holds, and then a person has to go to the mikvah. He doesn't have to go right away. You can delay too. You have to become Torah at the first instant. Tefillah at its time is not the mitzvah. You can go later too. So if you can go later, so he says, okay, even if the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur actually became Tameh 2 days before he went into the room, we don't have to sprinkle on him the ashes the first day he went into the room. That may be day three, so we'll wait a couple days. So it'll be, he's getting it sprinkled on him late. But it's also okay, it also works. So on day three that he's in the room, and on day seven that he's in the room, we sprinkle on him. Says the Gemara, how can you say that that's the argument? The Sabra Rabbi Yossi lo amin tefillah bizman mitzvah. Is it true that Rabbi Yossi holds that we don't say that immersing at the right time is the mitzvah? V'atana b'dinu min b'raisa. Harei shahaya shem kasov al basara. If somebody has the name of God written on his flesh, somebody wrote Yud Kevavke on his skin. Wrote on his skin, Yud Kevavke, wrote the name of God. A crazy guy. What's a guy writing on his skin? Yud Kevavke. Now, how does he get undressed? Because it's going to be revealing nakedness to his name. He's going to have to get undressed with like a towel around his waist so that his nakedness never shows to the where he has the name of God written on his skin. It made life difficult for himself. It's a shame, shenu nimchak. You know how to erase the name. Hashem told us that you have to destroy the idols and the asheros and the idol worship trees and the statues of the nations. Lo sasim kem, Hashem lokechem. Don't do that for Hashem, your God. So we learned in a braise, Sarisha Yashem Kasav al Basar. Let's say he had a name of God written on his skin. Areza lo yirchatz. So he should not bathe. He can't bathe anymore. He can't go to a bathhouse. Go into a steam room. Go swim. Below Yasov, he can't smear his skin with oil because he's going to be erasing God's name. Below Yamad Makmatinofis, he can't stand in a place filled with excrement because that's also unfair to God's name. What happens if there's Dam Lotfila Shal Mitzvah? Let's say, though, he has a mitzvah to go to the mikvah. Hashem says, if he had a discharge of semen or whatever, you know, he's supposed to go to the mikvah now. He's supposed to go to the mikvah to become tar. What is he going to do? So now, Korech Alav Gemi. Okay, so it can't be too tight. He's going to have to let the water in. He's going to wrap up and go find a gemi plant. Gemi is a type of plant. It's like a bandage. Puts that plant on Vitovo and goes into the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi and Rusi says, Yorid Vitovo Kedarko. No, let him go to the mikvah right away. He just can't rub the ink off. Just go to the mikvah right away. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, what's the argument? The argument is whether when you have a chance to go to the mikvah, when it's day seven of Nidah, seventh clean day of Zava, do you have to go to the mikvah right away? Tanakama says, we don't say that you have to go to the mikvah right away. So go look for the gemi. And as Rashi says, even if it's going to be hard to find a gemi, you'll end up only going to the mikvah the next day. So you went to the mikvah a day late. However, you say that the tefillah on its time is the mitzvah. If we can't take the risk of ending up going a day late. So you see the Rabbi Yossi, he's the one who says tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So if Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah, he should then also hold hazah b'zman mitzvah, that the sprinkling of parah aduma ashes has to be at its right time. And if that's the mitzvah, then why is he saying only sprinkle on day three and on day seven? He should be saying on each of the days there should be a sprinkling. Ella said, you're right. To Kuliyam, you have to say, Lahani Tanayis Tanayim, Reb Meir, Reb Yossi, and Reb Chinas Ganakonim. I mean, the Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah. The old Tvila at its time is the Mitzvah. So what's the argument? Rameir Savar Makshim Nazal the Tvila. Rameir says the same way that the Tvila has to be right away at the moment you can do it. The same as with the ashes of Paraduma, it has to be at the moment you can do it. Therefore, you have to do each of the days, you have to sprinkle the ashes of Paraduma. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi, Olam Makshim Nazal the Tvila. We don't compare the sprinkling of the ashes to going to the mikvah. And we say, fine, going to the mikvah has to be on time. But sprinkling of the ashes, that can be delayed. It's kind of konim, though. It's a problem. If he compares the sprinkling of the ashes and getting rid of tumas meis to going to the mikvah for nida and going to the mikvah for zav, then afilu kohen b'yom kippurim nami. Even the kohen is preparing for yom kippur should have to have the ashes sprinkled on him every day. And if he doesn't compare purification from tumas meis to purification from zav and keri, afilu kohen asarfas apara nami lo, then even the kohen who's preparing to burn the paraduma shouldn't have to have the ashes sprinkled on him every day. He could just have it day 3 and day 7. Answers the Gemara, Liolam, lo makash azal letvila. Basically, Rabbi Chanina is going to call him and visit Rabbi Yossi. He holds that there's an idea of tvila bezman mitzvah. Going to the mikvah at its time is the absolute obligation, but to have the ashes of paraduma sprinkled on you at the right time is not a mitzvah. You don't have to do it right away. You can delay that. And therefore, really, afilu kohen asarif hasapar, right? He really... The Kohen is preparing to burn the Paraduma, should not have to have the ashes sprinkled on him every day, from the basic laws of Tumas Meis. But Kohen Asarif HaSapara, Maila Ba'alma. But the Kohen is burning, they're going to burn the Paraduma. They made an extra rabbinic stringency. We know that many times the rabbis make extra rabbinic stringencies just to compensate for the fact that they're making extra bin stringencies to compensate for the fact that we're using a person who's tummy. Remember, the tzedukim held the person doing the paradu must be fully tahor, but we want to show that they're wrong. So we make him tummy with a low level tumah. We put him to the mikvah. He's a tzvul yom. We're using a tzvul yom to do the paraduma, but then on the other side, we want to compensate. We want to say, no. We don't want you to be mezalza. We don't want you to think it's a small thing here. You have to be careful here. So since we want to compensate, therefore, we want to make it strict. We made it strict that the ashes of paraduma are sprinkled on him every one of the 7 days. All right. Keman azla hadetan rabban. Like, who does the following braisa follow? We learned... There's no real differences between the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur and the Kohen preparing to burn the Paraduma. Whatever is done for one is done for the other. They both go away from their family. They both go for a week. They both go to a room near the Beis HaMikdash. The difference is, El Shazeh Prishas L'Kedusha. This one is separating for the sake of becoming more holy. Rashi explains, the Kohen Gadol is separating to feel holiness. To prepare himself to be trembling. I'm about to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the issue is holiness. The issue is not tahara. It's not purity. It's holiness. Therefore, Echav HaKohanim. No, his brothers, the other Kohanim, will come into the room. We're not saying, oh, don't touch him. Maybe your tummy. Don't turn the tumma. They can touch him. The main thing is he should be away from his family. He should be with Tamid HaChachamim. He should be focused on holiness. Or Vizeh, but the Kohen is preparing for the 7 days. The Kohen is preparing 7 days to do the Paraduma. His separation is for the sake of purity. So since it's all about him feeling purity and being very, very pure and being strict about purity, therefore in Echav HaKohanim no ginbo. His brethren, the other Kohanim, cannot touch him, because touching is a great way to transmit impurity. It's Tamei Meis, who touches me, I become Tamei. So therefore the other brothers of the Kohanim can't even touch him. So now this Braisa Keman, who's this Braisa following? O Rabbi Meir, O Rabbi Yossi. It could be Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Meir, the Kohen who's preparing for Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur, gets the ashes of Paraduma sprinkled on him each of the 7 days. And the Kohen preparing for the Paraduma also has the ashes sprinkled on him each of the 7 days. Or it could be Rabbi Yossi, because they both hold that the Kohen preparing for Yom Kippur and the Kohen preparing for the Paraduma have the ashes sprinkled on them on day 3 and on day 7. However, Yerub Chanin Eskana Kohanim, if it's Yerub Chanin Eskana Kohanim, Ha'ikanam Yiha. Because if it's Yerubchanin Eskana Kohanim, and you have another difference, not just that one is for Kedusha, one is for Tahara. There's another difference, and that is that the Kohen Asarif HaSapara has the ashes sprinkled on him on each of the 7 days, because it's a Mila, it's a rabbinic stringency. Whereas the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur only has the ashes sprinkled on him on day 3 and on day 7, because Rav Chanina's Gan HaKohanim holds Lo Makshin and Tefillah La'azah. We don't compare immersion in the mikvah to the purification from death and purity. Immersion in the mikvah has to be done on time. Purification from death and purity can be delayed. And since purification from death and purity can be delayed, it's actually that he's only sprinkled on him on day 3 and on day 7. Maskifla, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina challenged this discussion, this explanation of what's going on here. Bishma Rishon, he said, okay, according to Rabbi Meir, you're saying he sprinkles on each of the 7 days, both for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen service Sapara. I can understand that the first day there'll be a sprinkling. Shema Shlishi, maybe the first day is day 3. Sheni, the second day there'll be a sprinkling. Also, Shema Shlishi, maybe that is day 3. Shlishi, there'll be a sprinkling. Also, Shema Shlishi, maybe that is day 3. But the third day that he's in this chamber, Lishkas Parhedrin, maybe he became Tamei Mace in the morning before he walked over something that made him Tamei, and now he's here, so day 3 he has to have the ashes of Paradam Aduma sprinkled on him. Chamishi, day 5 of his week in the Lishkas Parhedrin. Shema Shvi, maybe that's day 7. Right? If he became Tamei 2 days before he went into the Lishkas Parhedrin, so day 1, day 2, then he went into the Lishkas Parhedrin, which was day 3, so now then you have 4, 5, 6, 7. So day 5 from when he's in Lishkas Parhedrin would be day 7 from when he became Tamei. That's fine. Chamishi Shema Shvi. Shishi, the 6th day also. The 6th day in the Lishkas Parhedrin. Shema Shvi, maybe that is the 7th day from when he went into the chamber. And Shvi, the 7th day, also is Shema Shvi. Maybe that was the 7th day. El Revi'i, but on the 4th day that he's in Lishkas Parhedrin, Lamali Hazah Klal. Why does he need to have anything sprinkled on him at all? Lo Bishlishi Ika L'Sfuke. Lo Bishvi Ika L'Sfuke. We're, number one, not concerned that maybe it's the third day of Toma, because he's been in the Lishkas HaParhetchen for the last 3 days. He didn't become Tamei. And it's certainly not day 7, because for day 7 to work, you'd have to have a sprinkling on day 3. And he'd have a sprinkling on the third day relative to this day being day 7. So the Gemara says back to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, according to your logic, you really think that what Rabbi Meir meant what he said? You think when Rabbi Meir says he gets sprinkled with the ashes of all the paros, it really means on every day he gets sprinkled? Hazah kol shiva mi'ikah, is it even possible to sprinkle on all 7 days? But we paskin, hazah shvus, sprinkling the ashes of para aduma on someone is a nisr drabanan. You're not allowed to do it. It's a form of tikkun mana, fixing somebody. Vein adochas haShabbos, it does not overrule Shabbos. Elamayis halamemers, what do you have to say when you first heard that Rabbi Meir says he gets the ashes of para aduma sprinkled on him for all 7 days? It means shiva levar mi'Shabbos, 7 days except for Shabbos. Achanami here too, shiva levar mi'Revi, 7 days except for the 4th day. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hilkuch, therefore, Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Delo b'didon talya milsa, where the calendar is not up to us, Delo b'kivadi yarcha talya milsa, it's dependent on what was said. Right, b'klasa b'tishrei bo'el afrushe, on the 3rd day of Tishrei, we have to take him away from his family and put him in, and walk him into the Lishkas HaParhedrin. Whatever day of the week that 3rd day of Tishrei is, that's when we're going to bring him into the Lishkas HaParhedrin. Aval Kohen Asorif HaSapara. But the Kohen who burns, who's preparing for the Parah Aduma, to be Dan Talya Milsa. It's up to us to decide when he's going to burn the Parah Aduma. It's up to us to decide when he has to go into the chamber. Therefore, Mafreshin and Leib Revi B'Shabbos. We first bring him into the Lishkas Beis HaEvan on a Wednesday. So Wednesday is the 1st day, Thursday is the 2nd day, Friday is the 3rd day that he's in the chamber, and Shabbos is the 4th day, because since on Shabbos we're not going to sprinkle on him, because we don't do any sprinkling on Shabbos, and since on the 4th day we don't do a sprinkling, because the 4th day doesn't make sense, because there's no reason to do a sprinkling, therefore he's only going to miss out on one day, that the 4th day for him in the room is going to be on the Shabbos, and he'll have the sprinkling of the ashes of Parah Aduma on him on every single other day. Okay, the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol, a week before Yom Kippur, is put into Lishkas Parhedrin. Now, Parhedrin means a government official. Government officials that are easily and quickly replaced. They work for a year, and the ruler has a change of heart, he's fickle, and somebody else takes the place. Tanya lived in a Braisa. Amr Yehuda said, with the Lishkas Parhedrin Haisa, is this a room for the government officials? Halo Lishkas Balvati Haisa. This is the room of the prominent, wealthy, wise ministers. It's the room of the Kohen Gadolim. The answer is, Ela Betchila, Yukarnos Lishkas Balvati. Initially, it used to be called the room of the prominent Kohanim. After all, the Kohanim Gadolim is their room. But what happened was that then there was corruption. And there were Kohanim Gadolim who would buy the privilege to be Kohen Gadol from the Romans. Mitoch Shanos and Olav Mamal Kohuna, since they used to give money in order to get the privilege of being Kohen Gadol. They'd give money to the Romans, and the Romans would appoint them. Then they used to die all the time. They used to change this room every 12 months. And it was like the Parhedrin Halal, like these government officials, Shemachlif and Osa and Kol Shnei Masar Chodesh, that they changed them every 12 months. That's why they changed the name, and Ayikar and Osa, Lishkas Parhedrin, they called it the room of the Parhedrin, and not the room of the Balvati. Okay, Tanan Asim, we went in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in this is in Demai. Demai deals with the fact that the produce of Amaratzim, there was a takana to treat it as if it was maybe they didn't separate all the gifts that they're supposed to separate from their produce. So it's not us, and we have an emission over there that Anachtomim, the bakers who bake a lot of bread, Chachamim only said that they have to separate Trumas Meiser, which is 1%, and Challah. These are biblical obligations. But the other obligations, we don't require them to separate. We don't require them to separate the Maaser Rishon, the 10% to give to Levim, and then you know in year 3 and 6 the Maaser Ani to give to the poor, and in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 the Maaser Sheni to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Right now explains why. Rishon Truma Gedola Lo. The reason why we don't make them give Truma Gedola from their loaves is the Tanya's. We went in a Brisa. The whole source of the Takana of Demai, that the produce of Amaratzim is treated as if Shumas and Maestros were not separated from it, the Fishalach Machal Gvul Yisrael, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol sent in the entire Jewish boundaries, Roshem Afishnel Shuma Gadol Bilvadi, so that the Amaratzim were only giving Shuma Gadola, because that was pretty cheap. Shuma Gadola is only 2%, so that they were doing, giving that to the Kohen. But Maaser Rishon and Maaser, that they weren't giving other things, so that's why he made Demai. So therefore we do assume that they gave the Truma Gedolos, therefore we don't make the bakers give Truma Gedola again. Now, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, the reason why we don't make the bakers give a 10% to the Levim and another 10% to the Aniim, because Hamotzi Mechaber Olav Araya, if somebody wants to make me pay, he needs to prove that he's entitled to it. So what Levi can prove that he's really a Levi? What poor person can prove that he's really poor? Therefore, they didn't make the bakers have to give that. Ela Maaser Sheni, but Maaser Sheni Nifreshu V'Nisku. Why don't we make them separate Maaser Sheni and bring it up? V'Nichlu B'Yushalayim and Yidin Yushalayim. So Ula Ula explains again. Parhedrin. It talks about Parhedrin. Ela Luchov T'Nasan Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. V'Omlem Michu B'Zol Michu B'Zol. Because the government officials torment them for the full 12 months, and they hit them, and they say, no, no, you have to sell it at a cheaper price, at a cheaper price. So they can't make any money. They don't make any profits. Therefore, Lo Atruchu Rabbanah, the Rabbanah didn't make it difficult for them to also have to separate Maaser Sheni, bring it up to Yerushalayim. My Parhedrin, what's the meaning of this term, Parhedrin? Poor C, it means government policeman. Okay, we'll stop here.